Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Lamentations, chapter 3. I want to commence reading at verse 21. And it reads as follows. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. I want to look again at verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I want to speak from the subject, thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for his faithfulness. Lamentations, the laments of Jeremiah, who is known as the weeping prophet, is sharing all that he is convicted of and convinced of as it relates to the tender mercies and wonderful compassions of Jehovah God. He says something that gives us insight and illumination to the goodness of God when he says in verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've been so down, so distraught, so disturbed, so bound, so broken, so seemingly out of it that you felt that there was no hope? Not so much because of what someone else did to you, but because of what you did yourself. Not because someone misused you, but because you perhaps did not do or were not obedient or did not follow the lead or the command or the guide of God, and so found yourself knowing that you deserved to be wiped off of planet Earth. Has there ever been a time in your life your experiences were at an all-time low and you know you deserved every damnable thing that would happen to you, and knowing that you were without any desire of God's blessings because the grief and the conviction was so great that you didn't even want to muster up the strength one more time to say, forgive me for the thing you had asked for forgiveness multiple times? You see, Jeremiah is talking about the sins of Israel and how their backslidden state and their faltering state had so deserved their death, their demise, the state they were in, the problems they had. They were the cause of all of those things. It's one thing when things happen to you and you don't deserve it. It's quite another when they happen to you because you caused them. And yet, in the midst of Jeremiah recollecting how Israel deserved that they were going through and more, look at what he says. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. If I would not have remembered that God is faithful, I wouldn't have any more strength to go on another day's journey. And I don't know how you feel about it, my brothers and sisters, but if you keep living life and if you keep on, you're going to find out that just because you're a Christian don't mean you always live like a Christian. You're going to find out sometime you're going to slip, and then sometime you're going to go further than slip, you're going to slide. Sometime you're going to find out that you're going to know God's word and still walk opposite of God's word. Sometime you're going to find yourself in a position where God has told you to do a thing and you did not do it. He told you not to do a thing and you did a thing and were deserving of all these things and ready to walk away, throw in the towel, and give up the journey until you remember faithfulness is of God. Great is his mercy. Tender are his compassions. And somewhere in your spirit, your reference will come back and say that his mercy endureth to all generations. Look at what he says. It is of the Lord's, listen now, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Now look at what he's making very clear to us. Do you know why you're here this morning? It ain't been because you've been all you're supposed to be, sitting there looking at me holier than thou, like you've done everything God's told you to do. You're walking in his word, walking in his will. You're doing everything. It's not because of those things that you are here. It's not that any of us are here. Jeremiah is speaking not only to Israel, but the word is speaking to believers today. He's saying that it is because of the Lord's, listen at the next word, mercies. And I thank God it wasn't mercy, because that would have run out a long time ago with me. But I'm thankful that the word is in the plural form. Not only is it in the plural form, it's in the present form. It's not only present tense, because when we look at the reality that we are still not yet all we ought to be, we're still not arrived at where God would have us to be, we still not done the things God told us. How many of you know that it is because of his continual sustaining mercies that he even puts up with us? Listen at this. He says, it is of the Lord's mercy. If you ever get to the point where you won't start patting yourself on the back for where you are and for what you have, if you ever get to that point where you want to start lifting up your mouth and bragging about what you have, if you ever get to that point where you look at yourself and see where God's brought you and look at somebody who's still struggling coming up along the way, if you ever get to that point where you are a nickel above starvation and poverty and thank you all of that, just remember that it wasn't you, but God's mercies. Some of you don't even tithe, and yet God still blesses you. Some of you still don't understand how to give to God. You'll go to a restaurant and you'll splurge, then come to the house of the God and give him less than the tip you gave the waiter who served you one day, when the God who woke you up, gave you the job, the strength, the know-how, and the ability to do it, you give him less than you give a waiter, and yet he still blesses. Thank God I'm not God. I'm going to say that one more again. And while you're sitting there, you ought to thank him I'm not God also. When you know you've been a blessing, and they can bless and do good by everything and everybody but God. Set your desires and your affections on your own lust, and forget not the things that you want, but forget the things that God wants. Prioritize your life so that your needs and your desires are met above God. But care not if God's needs are met as relates to the work he's called you to. You've been called into the kingdom for such a time as this. You are important to God. You're important to the work that God's called you to do. You are important to the support that God's called you for. You mean much not only to God, but to the ministry here where God has placed you, to those of you who listen by cassette or radio, wherever God has placed you. You are called into the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. And God gives wealth according to Deuteronomy to those so that he can establish his kingdom. So that he can use them not only to be blessed, but to be a blessing. But listen at this, it's a continual cycle. It is an ever-increasing cycle. He starts you off and sees how faithful you are with the little, and while you're faithful with the little, he will then increase the little to much, and the much to more, until he can trust you with the masses. God will show you that it ain't all about the money, because he'll give you things money can't buy. And then he'll give you with favor with men, so much so that the money you would have spent on things, he'll just give them to you. He'll show you if you just do your part, he's got so much to work with and so many to use that you don't know where your blessings are coming from, the north, the east, the south, or the west, but you know that they are coming from God through many different avenues and sources. Why? Because he is faithful. Listen at this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Sounds like something Malachi said. Ye sons of Jacob, the reason why you are not consumed is because he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Amen. That's the reason why you're still in my presence. That's the reason why you're still here on planet Earth. That's the reason you still have another chance. Yeah, amen. Have you ever wondered why some better folk than you, God called on and left you here? Ever been in a situation where everybody got killed and you're the only one that walked away? God allowed you to walk away? Ever been driving, fell asleep at the wheel, went off the road when that could have been a fatal mistake? Ever been driving, didn't see in that blind spot somebody coming up on the side of you, could have spun into you and killed you instantly? Ever made some bad decisions and those bad decisions could have cost you your life? Why do you think you're still here? It's by the mercies of God and his compassion on you. Look at what the word says. Because his compassions fail not. Now, here's where God differs from us. Have you ever had compassion on somebody and they got on your last nerve? Can we just be real a little while this morning? I mean, you said, oh, forgive them, oh, that's all right. And you were hoping that that would be the last time you had to say that, but you had to say it again and then again and then again until they got to the point where they actually ran you to the point where you were ready to throw them all the way to the curb. Not kick them, I mean throw them. We're like, no, my compassions have run out with you. I got a few left, but you ain't getting no more of them. Have you ever been there? See, some of y'all trying to act again all cute and act like you ain't never been there. But I'm here to tell you, Peter said, Lord, I need you to increase my faith because I've had compassion. How many times shall I forgive my brother? Seven times? And Peter was like, listen, that's enough. I'm only saying seven because that's a holy number. That's a complete number. I ain't really wanting to go to seven. And he was blown away when Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Peter said, Lord, listen, you're going to have to do something about this faith I got because my compassions ain't going to extend past no seven now. And if we would be real about it, my brothers and sisters, if we had to love folk with our love would have run out a long time ago. If we had to love folk with our compassion would have run out a long time ago. If we had to love folk with our mercy would have run out a long time ago. Matter of fact, some of us are so sick of us, we're sick or tired of going to God about us. That's why folk drop out and leave the church and don't come back, because they're too embarrassed to go to God and ask him to forgive them one more time. Because they figure that, you know, conviction and guilt and shame, and they're not going back to God with that. Because they feel that God must look at them like they look at them. Sometimes it's harder for you to forgive yourself than it is for God to forgive you. Sometimes it's harder for you to understand his compassions than for you to understand how compassionate he is toward you. Because we don't deserve it. He's been that good to each one of us. And even those of us who feel we've not been all that bad, had not done all that much, didn't go that far out of the line, the fact of the matter is, if you stepped out of the line, you're still guilty. Bible says if you break one sin, you're guilty of them all. I mean, because the bottom line is, if you commit one sin, you're worthy of death. And if it's one or 1 million, they're all the same in God's sight. And if he's going to have compassion on one sin, he'll have compassion on 1 million sins. And so we can't fathom, listen at Jeremiah, his mercies and his compassions, because the word says they fail not. Now this is what you need to know, because that's where the devil strikes us and moves us out of our place and keeps us from functioning and flowing where we are. Do you know if the devil can get you out of your place, out of your position, out of where God has placed you, he can do damage not only to you but to those God intended you to be a blessing to? So the devil wants you to stay in an erroring way, in a way that goes out of his will, in a way that goes out of his word, in a way that goes out of the way of the Lord. But whenever we do like the prodigal son and come to ourselves, we can go right back home to the Father. And faithful is he. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. When he talks about his compassions and his mercies, the Bible says they are new every morning. Now that is something to shout about. Because some days are filled with so much stuff. And it's like, oh my God, I don't think I could take another nothing. But somehow by the grace of God, he brings you through that day and he maketh you to lie down. And when you get up in the morning, just like some of you got to have a fresh cup of coffee, God has some fresh mercies and some fresh compassion ready for you for the new day. And here's what you ought to rejoice in. God always measures out every day, every morning, fresh mercies and fresh compassions, enough to deal with everything you've got to deal with in that single day. Somebody not getting this. You're not getting this. You ain't got no reason to freak out and to stress out and throw your hands up and act like you're going to give up because you can't take it no more. God, when he created the day, woke you up in the day, he prepared through the day enough mercy and compassion to take you through that day. That's why when you get to the end of the day and don't know how you made it through, it's because you were floating through on his mercies and his compassions. That's why when you wanted to say something and he kept your mouth closed, it's because he had enough mercies and compassion. That's why when you wanted to let that hand slip, he kept the grip and wouldn't let you do something you would have regretted. It's because he put enough mercies and compassion. When you would have laid down your religion, like you take off your clothes, he kept you beyond your own desire because he included enough mercies and compassion. Listen, mercies are extended to us because we are outside of the perfect flow of God. If we were in the perfect flow of God, we wouldn't need no mercy. Now listen to me well. But because in this day there are pitfalls and there are cracks and crevices where we make mistakes and step wrong and miss, he grants us enough mercy to fill in the gap for where we did not measure up to. But the compassion is when he has the loving understanding to know how weak and frail we are, and he knows our hearts, and he judges us based on the motive and not just the action. Don't you know everything you do, God understands why you do it? Man may not understand it, but God understands it. You know, when you reach that point where you don't understand why, God does. And so his compassion deals with you because he knows your breaking point. He knows your level of being able to handle every and anything. he measures out compassion according to each one of our abilities and or our inabilities. Look at what this word says. It says, again, great, verse 23, is thy faithfulness. Great. Why do you suppose that Jeremiah says, great is thy faithfulness? Because he's talking about faithfulness in the light of unfaithfulness. He's talking about what God said he would do and does over against what we say we're going to do and don't. Now look at this. How many of us would be where we are, experiencing life as we're experiencing, based upon some things we promised God we would do and have not kept them? How many of you think that if God would have rewarded us according to our deeds and our doings and would dealt with us the way we dealt with him, that we would be sitting here right now if he were the kind of God to have allowed justice instead of mercy and compassion and his faithfulness to his word to roll on? How many of you think that you'd be where you are right now? And you think about the fact that you aren't where you ought to be, but how many of you think you would be where you are right now if for what you did, God said, I'm going to reward you according to that? Or what you didn't do, God says, because you didn't do, I'm not going to do. What about if, like you, who forget about God some days, don't talk to him, don't pray, don't communicate with him, don't seek his counsel, don't acknowledge him, he did the same thing on any one given day? Well, I got news for you. If he ever forgot about you any one day, there would not be another day. Listen to me well now. Because one day with him forgetting about it, that means I wouldn't have breath to breathe. One day of forgetting about me, that means I wouldn't have health and strength. One day of forgetting about me, that means all of my needs would not be met. One day of forgetting about me, all of the favor that he has, doors that were open, that he's holding open, would have been shut in my face. I mean, if he forgot about me one day, that wouldn't be a next day for me. But because he's so faithful and he loves us, and the Bible says he causes his sun to shine on the just and the unjust, the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, because he loves me in spite of me, he keeps on taking care of me. That's great. That's faithfulness so great that we don't deserve it, and yet we sit there and act like it's what he's got to do. So many of us don't realize how great his faithfulness is. How many times you've asked God for some stuff, you've asked him and you've forgotten about what you've asked him. But because of his faithfulness, he still did what he promised he was going to do and brought it back to your remembrance. You see, you don't understand that God is so sovereign and so authoritative and so powerful that his faithfulness to himself, his word, his will, and his way is his first priority. And as his creation made in his image and in his likeness, it is a part of his word, his will, and his way that he would minister, take care of us, especially those of us who are called by his name. There are some things as a father does for his children, even if the children are disobedient, he is bound by the responsibility tied to the fact that he is responsible for them, that he keeps on doing what he does. How many times you parents, you've told your children to do some things, they didn't want to do them, but because you were the parent and they had a need, you went on and fulfilled the need anyway, even though they didn't deserve it. You started realizing, yes, I know that they've not been obedient. I know they've not done what I said do, but because I am the parent, I am their source, I am their supply, I'm still going to bless them with what they need and have need of. But then you start cutting off all of the privileges and you start cutting off all of the extra and the abundance and the lanyard. You start cutting all that off to help them understand that even though you have to meet their needs, you do not have to give them their wants. But God is so faithful, and I just want some witnesses here who will testify to this. When we have not been all that we ought to have been, he's not only met our needs, but he's still given us our wants. And those of you who've not raised your hand just don't realize how good God's been to you. Because you don't deserve it many times, and yet he does it. It's not because of you. It's because of him. And he's not going to back down, nor is he going to turn around, nor is he going to give up on his own word. So he says, great is thy faith. When I can't depend on my own word, when I can't depend on myself to make it, I can depend on God because he is faithful. Listen at this word. Listen at this word. Verse 24 says, the Lord is my portion. I don't know who your portion is. It's another way of Jeremiah saying, like David, the Lord is my shepherd. Because when you talk about the Lord being your portion, you mean the Lord is your source and your supply. When you're talking about the Lord being your portion, you're talking about God being your sufficiency. When you talk about God being your portion, you're talking about God being the total sum and citadel of your entire world. When you talk about God being your portion, you're talking about every need and desire being met because he is more than able. Now listen to what he says. Saith my soul. This ain't just an external thing. It's not just about a provisional thing on the outside. He says, therefore will I hope. Now here's the word that ties in why he's doing it. In is indicative of relationship. I am going to again trust in him, hope in him, lean on him, depend on him, or in him. It is because of my relationship with him that I have the hope that I have. I don't know if you know it, my brothers and sisters, but no matter who you are, what level of life you're living life on, you're going to be challenged and you're going to be tried. And the more that you try to live for the Lord, the more the devil is going to try and mess with you and pull you away from the perfect will of God. The more you decide that you surrender your life to God, the more the devil is going to try his best to turn your life around. And I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, he may send you through the fiery furnace. He might send you in a lion's den. He might cause you to cross over a Red Sea experience or be in the wilderness. But no matter what you go through, know that if the Lord is with you, you are going to make it through. So when he talks about his portions, he's talking about his provision. And as God is your provision, he's your protector, he's your peace, he's everything that you have need of if he is your portion. And if your soul knows it underneath the skin, then that's something to rejoice about, because you know it is well underneath the skin. If it is well underneath the skin, it doesn't matter what happens in your life. You are rooted and grounded in the knowledge that great is thy faithfulness. Now listen at this. Listen at this. It says, therefore will I hope in him. Too many of us have put our hopes in the wrong places. In the wrong people, in the wrong things, in the wrong situations, in the wrong circumstances. If you put your hope in the Lord, you will never ever be dissatisfied. He will never let your expectations down when you hope in the... Have you ever put your hope in man? Come on, be real with me now. Whether that man was mama, daddy, sister, brother, husband, wife, friend, or foe, employer, or whomever, have you ever put your hope in them and they let you down? Well, I got news for you. The Bible teaches you don't do that. Don't put your trust and hope in man, because he will surely, he ain't got enough power to hold up. He can't do for himself. What makes you think he can do for you? So listen at this. He hopes in the Lord. The next verse says, and I'm closing, the Lord is good. Can somebody say the Lord is good? The Lord is good, but let me qualify this. Unto them that wait for him. Listen again. The Lord is good. Now, there is a difference here. As you understand this, God is good all the time. And we know this. But there is a difference between God, that's who he is, that's his personality, that's his character. He's good, he's just good, but he doesn't have